Before I begin, I just wanted to note that it was not intended that I be the speaker in the first hour this morning. Brother Thackeray Scroggins very nicely volunteered to give us an invitation, and we were looking forward to that, but he unfortunately became a bit ill in the last day and was not able to make it, so he called me last moment to ask me if I could, which I've told anyone. If you want to, fine. If you don't, then I'll fill in for you last minute. I have no problems with that if something happens. But so what I'd like to do, just spend a few moments' time, is go to Ephesians chapter 5 and talk a little bit about love. Actually, we're going to address this to a greater extent in the 11 o'clock hour as we discuss the text of 2 John. But when we talk about truth and love, I want you to note that this, which is the theme of 2 John 9, this is basically a different treatise of the same concept. I want you, first of all, to note what love is as defined by God, and I think you're familiar with it. The expression agape love is a bit different than all the other kinds of love. And as we seek to define it, the easiest definition that can be given is to seek the best for everyone else. If you have a love and a care for concern for someone, especially a love that would lead you to be concerned about them spiritually, you're going to do your very best to make sure that they get to heaven. And this idea of seeking someone else's welfare rather than your own or above your own is the golden rule that Jesus proclaimed in his ministry, but it is based on that concept of love. We're told, of course, in the scriptures, from the beginning of time until now, the two great commands that we are to follow is to fear God and to love him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and spirit, and also to love our brethren. Love our neighbors is what it states in that text. But our brethren is what's under consideration, especially here in chapter 5 of Ephesians. He's just been in the fourth chapter talking about the need for us to exhort and encourage one another and to live in such a way as to please God. In chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, next, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. And then he gives the best personification of that kind of walk by saying walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We talk about God's love for us. He loved the world so much that he gave his son. That is, that we were unlovable, we were yet sinners, we were rebellious to him, but he loved us enough, he cared for us, that he sought our best, our highest welfare, especially spiritually, because he wanted us to be redeemed. He sent his son to die on the cross. You take the flip side of that coin, Christ had to want to redeem us as well. He had to be willing to come. He did the will of the Father. We're told in Philippians, the fourth chapter, that he learned obedience, or Philippians, the second chapter, he learned obedience even to the point of death on the cross, and he willingly gave himself for us. So that's restated here in the second verse. But I think that it's kind of an interesting thing when he contrasts that. You'll notice he says to walk in love as Christ loved us, and then in verse 3, he uses the word but. And it seems to me that at least in the first three things that are mentioned in the third verse, that these sins that he mentions are basically the opposite of love. He mentions fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness. And of course, with regard to fornication, there is the inclusion of others in your sin. Fornication is the more general term. Adultery is another. We know the way in which God has always categorized adultery, unfaithfulness to your spouse, as being a crime against them of violence. He talked in the book of Malachi about how God hates divorce because it is violence. That is, you do violence against your spouse. But that idea of fornication is something that is selfish, and it is something that involves others in sin. And often, if it is adultery as the form of fornication, it is something that is destructive to your spouse or to your family. So that's just the opposite of love, isn't it? If you love your spouse, you love your family, you're going to maintain your faithfulness and fidelity to them. So that is one point that is made here in this particular text. And I mentioned this idea of selfishness. So Characteristically, agape love is selfless. Love does not seek its own, is not puffed up. Love is something that is outside of self and toward others. It is a demonstration of our care and concern for others. So it's selfless rather than selfish. And the same thing are true with the next two, uncleanness and covetousness. We are talking about sins, and specifically with regard to covetousness here. Covetousness is what you have, I want. What you have, I want. And so that, again, is an expression of something lacking in love. Now, I don't know if we can do the same with this next verse and saying filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting. I think perhaps the third verse kind of leads the Apostle Paul to note other sins. But in that one word, the word but, as we consider the fact that a contrast is being made, understand this, that there are many sins that we can commit, we can be guilty of in our lives that basically really oppose the principle of love that God says is to be the hallmark of every child of God. You have to understand that much of what you do when you sin does not only harm yourself, it harms others. It may be with regard to your example. It may be with regard to direct impact upon your family or upon your friends or upon your church. But it's not done in a vacuum. It is something that is impactful of other individuals. So the next time you are tempted to engage in a sinful activity, maybe the first thing that you ought to think of, is, is this something that will show a lack of love for my brethren? Is it something that will harm someone else, my Christian friends or my family or my friends, whatever the case may be, because that can be another cause for pausing the consideration as you're tempted. Now, the primary thing is this going to hurt God? And it's always the case that sin is rebellion against God. It is selfishness as we lack a demonstration of our care and concern for God's will and His way. And so it is not loving at all ever to sin toward God. But oftentimes that is the case with regard to those that we love and care for as well. So those are some things to think about and to be concerned about as we seek to live our lives every day. Ensure that you do not get caught up into things that are selfish and unloving, but instead walk in love as Christ has loved us and He has given Himself for us. Now, as we offer an invitation this morning, there is that possibility that you're here and in need of our expressions of love towards you because of something that is amiss, something you have yet to do, some encouragement that you need, whatever it may be. We're here for you. We do love you. Hopefully each of us are selfless enough to put ourselves aside for a while and to express that love in ways that are needful for you. So we offer ourselves to you by way of invitation this morning. If there is anyone who has a need at this time to come forward, we ask that you stand while together we sing the song selected.